Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sanhedrin, Samech Dalet. We're a little bit behind. We're on Samech Yom Amud Aleph. We're about 2/3 of the way down on the Amud. Ava, HaMegafet, VaMenashek, VaMechavet, VaMerabet. We're talking about other ways of a person honoring their Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah tells us that you hug, you kiss, you sweep in front of the Avodah Zarah. So that is all, of course, not condoned behavior, obviously. But it's not Issa Skila. It's not a person's not going to be put to death for that. It's being put to death, so one has to do one of the avodas, either the way that the idol's normally served, or doing one of the dalet avodos of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a point that we've already gone over a number of times. Let us begin with the Gemara right away. Kiyas Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Elazar, Kulam Loke. So you're going to get malchus for all of that. Chutz me'anod b'shmo ve'mekayim b'shmo. So in other words, so it's not going to be a death penalty. It's not going to be skila, but it's still love in the Torah. It's the Avodah Zarah. One is worshiping idolatry. And so therefore, for doing any one of these activities, one is going to be subject to malchus, except for making a neder in the name of the Avodah Zarah. That is only verbalization. That's not a ma'isa, and the person's not going to get malchus. Ma'ishna, no, debishma, v'makayim bishma, t'lalaki mishum, da'avale, lav shem ba'ma'isa. It's an inactivity. And you don't get malchus for something which is an inactivity. So, haninam, lav shem ba'chlos. So the Gemara says, okay, but I also have another reason why you're not going to get malchus for doing these activities as well. And that is based on the idea that it's a lav shem ba'chlos. Ve'in lokin a lav shem ba'chlos, t'tanya. And we have a general rule that you do not get malchus for lav shebechlalos. This idea of lav shebechlalos is basically goes like this: that the when I have multiple prohibitions being extracted from one pasuk. In fact, just a couple days ago, maybe more than a couple, but several days ago in the daf, we talked about how you can, you know, the analogy the Gemara gave is that you take a hammer and you hit the stone and it flies off in different sparks. And you have, and you can have multiple ideas coming out from a single pasuk. So, but when that's true, so you don't get malchus. Malchus is only when there's one pasuk dedicated to one iser. But if I have multiple iserim being extracted from one pasuk, so you're not going to get malchus for all those different iserim that are extracted from that one pasuk. That's the idea of lav shebechlalos. So the Gemara points out that Avodah Zarah is a lav shebechlalos and therefore not subject to malchus. Detanya, and the Gemara here quotes the Brisa, minayin la'ochel min abehem akodem shetetz nafsha shu b'lo saseh, tamalam lo soch la'adam. Let's say you shecht an animal, but the animal didn't die yet. It takes a couple of seconds for the animal to die after you shecht it. The death doesn't occur immediately. And let's say, before the death of the animal, you eat from the animal. Okay, so it's not even an achai, because you shechted the animal, but at the same time, however, the animal still hasn't died. So that's going to be a lav. How do I know that? Lo soch lo adam. Davar acher. And let's not stop there, let's keep going. So, lo soch lo adam, lo soch lo basar v'adayin dam mizrak. Don't eat from the carbon while the blood's still in the bowl. This is talking about kachim. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you shecht an animal towards the Mizbeach, so you know that in order to be able to eat the meat of the animal, you have to be zorig the dam, you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. If you eat from the meat prior to sprinkling of the blood, that also is a violation of losoch l'adam. Rabbi Dos Rami Minayin Shein Mavrin al Haruge Beisdin. There's a minog, or not a minog, mitzvah, however you want to say it. There is a very, very ancient custom of when the aval comes home, so you give him food. That's the sudas havra. Havra from the word bari. In other words, the food's going to make him feel a little bit better. So when you have a family member whose family member died as a result of Mises Beis Din, he was executed. So there is no sudas havra. How do I know that? Tamalam lo soch la adam. That's also learned out from the pasuk, from the same pasuk. Rabbi Kiva Amar Minayin la Sanhedrin Shargos and Nefeshein Tomim Klum Koloso Ayom. The Sanhedrin that is going to take the responsibility of executing a person, right? Justfully so. In other words, that they're doing so because there's a mitzvah of din. But still, they're not allowed to eat that day in which they execute. Tamalam lo soch la adam. Again, another halacha learned out from this pasuk. Asala ben Sarah Mora minayin tamalam lo soch la adam. And where is the iser of ben Sarah Mora? Meaning, we know where the punishment is. The punishment of ben Sarah Mora, so that's easy. That's located in the beginning of Parshas Kisetze. But where's the azara? Where's the warning? So that also is learned out from lo soch la adam. Now, this one's an interesting one. How do we get from lo soch la adam to ben Sarah Mora? You look at Rashi over here, one of the last Rashis on the Amud, second to last Rashi, he writes, I'm reading, the lo anash alem kein hizr vehechan hizr lo soch l'adam. Lo soch l'achila shetehargu aleha. Don't eat in a manner in which you're going to get killed. Remember, Well, you don't have to remember, actually, because it's coming up, right? It's coming up in just a week from now, right? The eighth parak, the beginning of the eighth parak, is talking about Bensor Mora, so you don't have to remember. So we're going to see in a week from now that vis-a-vis the Bensor Mora, so he eats, he drinks more, right, in a gluttonous fashion, and that's going to result in his death. So that's Lo Soch Lo Adam. That's the Azhar in the Torah. So what do we have? So what do we have? I was going to say many, right? I wanted to give a numeric answer. Four or five? We have, I'll go with many. We have many Isurim learned out from Lo Soch Lo Adam. So this is a perfect example of Lav Shebechlalos. And the Gemara goes on to say, Vam Rav Avin, Barchi Avitem Rav Avin, Barkar Nal Kulam Eino Loke, Mishum Da'av Vele Lav Shebechlalos. You're not going to get Malkus because this is falls under the category of Lav Shebechlalos. Same thing over here when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Hugging, kissing, right? All these sweeping, all these activities that are done for Avodah Zarah, you're not going to get Malkus for because it's Lav Shebechlalos. So Ela Kiyas Rav Namar Rav Elazar. So now what we're going to have is a revised statement of Rav Elazar, which is Al Kulan Eino Loke. You're not going to get Malkus for any activity, meaning not for sweeping, not for hugging, not for kissing, not for swearing in its name. It's Aser. Just say it as flatly as I can. It's Aser, it's a prohibition, but there's no punishment. It's not Skila because it's not one of the Avodas. It's not even going to be subject to a Malkus Onish because it's Lav Shebechlalos. And Chutz Min Anodah B'Shmo V'Mekayim B'Shmo. Now he says then that the notable exception is if you swear in the name of the Avodah Zarah. For that you're going to get Malkus. So the Gemara says, now that's a little bit strange because as far as hugging, kissing, and those activities, you're not going to get Malkus because it's Lav Shebechlalos, as we've just established. Swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah, that's a verbalization. A verbal act is not a Maisa. You don't normally get Malkus for a verbal action. So the Gemara says, for a verbal action. So, Megadif is verbal, that's right, but the Torah gives a punishment for Megadif, right. And also, as we're going to learn in Samach Zion, accepting a Avodah Zarah, just the verbal acceptance of it, is going to bring about a death penalty. So there are times where the Torah gives a death penalty for just a verbalization. Here, however, we're talking about Malkus. And the rules by Malkus is very specific, and that is you don't get Malkus until you violate the Torah with an action. Over here, if I'm just verbalizing, it's not an action. So normally I wouldn't get Malkus. So the Gemara's question over here is, why are we getting Malkus? Answers the Gemara. So the Gemara says there is a Tana that says that you're going to get Malkus even for an inaction. Tanya, the Gemara here gives the classic debate of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding lavim that don't have an action and whether or not you're going to get Malkus. We learned in the following brayso lo sasir me'menu ad boker. One is not allowed to leave over carbon until the next morning. Leaving over carbon until the next morning is what's called nosar. This is actually mentioned in reference to the carbon Pesach, but it's true by all carbonos, that you should not be leaving any of the carbon left over. Now, if you do leave over the carbon for the next morning, what are you supposed to do with that carbon? Burn it. Now, the Torah says, what if you do leave it over, meaning lo sosir is alav. And the Torah then says, and if you do leave it over, be'ish tisrofu, you burn in fire. So why is the Torah following up the lo sase with an ase? Lomar, we're now on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Shein lo ken alav, div Rav Yehuda comes to tell me that you're not going to get, you know, it's not subject to Malkus according to Rav Yehuda. Meaning, but only here specifically in this case are you not going to get Malkus because there's an ase following the lav. It's what we generally refer to in halacha as lav hanitak la'ase. It's a lav in the Torah where the Torah tells you how to remedy the lav. But without the remedy, what's then the consequence? Malkus, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, lo min Hashem uzeh. Rabbi Yaakov says, I agree with the conclusion. You're not going to get Malkus, but for a totally different reason. Elam Yishem Davele Lav Shem Bamaisa. When you leave over Nosar, what did that require? Exactly. Nothing. Meaning the leaving over is an inactivity. You violate the Torah by doing nothing. By leaving it over. That's not an action. That's an inaction. And that's why you're not going to get Malkus. What do you see according to Rabbi Yehuda? Contrast Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yaakov. Mechlal to Rabbi Yehuda sever lokin alav. That means that Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally disagrees with that point, and he holds that you do get malchus. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're getting malchus on a lav shein b'maisa, and so therefore the previous brisa, or I should say better, the previous statement of Rav Elazar, who says that you're going to get malchus for being mekayim, for swearing in the name of the Avodah Zarah, so that subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah falls under the category of a lo sa'aseh. I know the b'shma v'mekam b'shma minalan. Detanya v'shem Elohim achrim lo sa'zkiru. One is not allowed to mention the names of other gods. Shelo yomer ad mechaveru. Shmor li b'tzad avodos kochav and plonis. Right? Watch this for me by the side of this and this place of idol worship. Lo yishma apicha lo yidur b'shmo. And one's not allowed to make a neder in the name of Avodah Zarah. V'lo yikayim b'shmo. Now one's not allowed to make a shvua in the name of the Avodah Zarah. V'lo yigram l'achirim sheyidru b'shmo. Don't cause other people to mention the Avodah Zarah. V'yikama b'shmo. Davarcha lo yishma apicha azar l'mesus l'mediach. So the Gemara says this is a prohibition for enticing other people to be over to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, what? Mesus b'ajak sivbe. What if v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirau? The Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a pasuk in the Torah dedicated to Mesus. We don't have to tease it out from another pasuk. The Torah says specifically that one's not allowed to entice others to worship idols. Ella azar l'meidich v'lo Ella azar l'meidich. So it's not an azar for Mesus, it's an azar for Meidich. Meidich is basically Mesus. It's just that instead of an individual, Meidich is for an entire city. V'lo yigrom l'achim sheyidru b'shma v'shikayma b'shma misayel elavu d'shmo. This is the support for Avu Dishmol Damar Avu Dishmol Asa Ladam Shiasa Shitfasim Oved Kochavim. One is not allowed to make a partnership with an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Shemi Yitzchayv Loshu Avinishba Avodah Kochav Shalom. Because what's going to end up happening is that you will have a dispute with him over finances, but then you're going to say to him, look, I really do think you owe me money. I think, right, I don't think it was an equitable division of the profit. And I think you skimmed a little too much off the top. Would you swear to me that we hadn't even split? And then he comes along and he swears, but for him swearing, because he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so what is he going to swear? Using the name of his Avodah Zarah. So by you going into partnership, you're now going to be an aider and embedder. You're going to cause him to be mentioning his Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says, it shouldn't be heard by your mouth. Meaning, you shouldn't cause other people to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. So, Kiasa Ula Bas... Ki asa ula bas bikal navo. So amale sorry. Bas bikal navo. He was staying over in a place called Kal Navo, and it happened to be the name of an Avodah Zarah. Amale Rava Vehecha Bas Mar. So Rava says to him, where did you sleep? Amale bikal navo. So he said, I slept in Kal Navo. Now Kal Navo is the name of the place, but it also happens to be the name of an Avodah Zarah. What are you doing? You can't identify the name of the place that you mentioned, even though I asked you where you slept. But you can't do that. That's an Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to mention his name. So he says, well, if the Avodah Zarah is mentioned in the Torah, so you're allowed to mention it. So, okay, so you know your pasuk in Yeshayahu. I mean, that's if. Do you know your pasuk in Yeshayahu? So you'll know that the Kal Navo is actually mentioned in the Psukim. V'ilok Siva Lo. But if it's not mentioned in the Torah, then you can't mention the name of the idol. Mesiv Rav Misharsha Re'a Achas Meruba Kishalosh Shehi Kimigidyon L'Shilo Shein Shtei Tvilos Ushnei Sefugim Hareze Zav Gamor. Now the Mishnah over here in Zavin discusses the following question. For a man to be a Zav Gadol, so he has to have not one, not two, but three discharges. The Gemara in Megillah discusses this with some detail, right, in the beginning of that first parak of Megillah, Daf Zayin, Daf Ches. Anyway, the Mishnah in Zavim is having a discussion over here about a man who has a Zav discharge, and it was a really large discharge, and the Mishnah over here is describing its length in terms of how long it takes to go from Megidyon to Shiloh. Now, Megidyon happens to be the name of a town. It also happens to be the name of an Avodah Zarah. So, basically what the Gemara over here is bothered by is how can the Mishnah in Zavin use a town as a marker for giving some sort of length of a Zav discharge when meanwhile the name of that town is actually Nevodah Zarah? That's the Gemara's question. I'm Ravina Gad Nami Michtav Ksiv. So he says, no, he says, the truth of the matter is, this is an Avodah Zarah that's mentioned already in Tanakh, and therefore, so Migidyon actually comes from the word God, and it's mentioned in Tanakh, Tichsiv, Ha'orchim Ligad Shulchan. Okay, so in other words, so since it's mentioned in Tanakh, so we have a heter to say the name of the Avodah Zarah.
Why can't you just say it's like a kinui? You know, a kinui, you're about to say that, and you won't be...
Stay tuned. By the way, your point is very good. I'm gonna make reference to your point a little bit later on this morning with Tosfos on the top of the upcoming Amud. Okay, hold that thought. Amar Rav Nachman kol leitzanusa asire. So the Gemara says in general, one is not allowed to mock and make fun of other people, and generally speaking, we should not be cynical people deriding others. If I could just pause for a moment to digest that point of the Gemara. Okay, I know. It's really hard. You're right, I know. We're kind of hardwired. I understand. But anyway, so generally speaking, one is not allowed to mock and deride and make fun. So the Gemara says, but however, we do have a heter, we have an allowance, dispensation that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so we should be mocking it, we should be deriding it, right? We are expected to be cynics. Deshaya dechsiv kara bal keres Gavo. And the Gemara now notes that the pasuk in Yeshayahu that we just quoted a couple lines earlier, describing the Avodah Zarah, so karal bal keres nevo, karso karo yachdav lo yachlu malet masa. So the Gemara here describes that basically the way we refer to it is almost as if I'm just being graphic as the Gemara is being. Basically, it's like excrement that gets built up within the body. That is the and it's so loaded that the excrement just comes out and without any control. Fine. So that's a pejorative way that we're describing the Avodah Zarah. The Uksiv Dibru Lagalos Base Aven Yagoro Shachin Shamron Ki Aval Alav Imo V'Chamriz Alav Yagila Akvado. So Ki Gala Mimenu Altikre Sorry Ki Gala Mimenu. Altikra kavodo ela kivedo. Again, the Gemara cites another pasuk and another derision of the Avodah Zarah. Kavodo means honor, kavodo means weight. And again, it's the same basic idea, is that it's very weighted down. It's like, again, the excrement that builds up inside of an individual. Am Rav Yitzchak Ma'idichsiv Ata Yosifu Lachot Vayasu Lahem Masecha Mikaspam Kisvona Matzavim My Kisvona Matzavim. Another pasuk. This is from Hosea. The Gemara now wants to know pshat in the psukim of Kisvona Matzavim, Lamed Shekol Echav Echad Aso Demus Yerso. What everyone would do is they would take a image of their statue, of their idol, Umenicha B'Kiso, basically pocket idols, if you will, B'Shat Shezocha Motzim Mitocheko Mechabka Menashka. And the moment they make mention of their idol, so they take out their little pocket idols, take it out, hug it, kiss it, Mai Zovche Adam Agalim Yishkon. So again, the pasuk in Hosea describes the Avodah Zarah, they are shechting people towards the cows that they kiss. It's a very strange imagery. The Gemara over here explains. Am Rav Yosef Debei Rabbi Am Debei Rabbi Amishai Yumisharsi Avodas Kochav Nosnei Meneim Bebalei Mama. So the Gemara says here is basically the charade of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the priests. When the priests of the Avodah Zarah, so when they identified a wealthy person, so what do? They earmark the wealthy person. So, by the way, I just want to remind everyone, we just learned just a couple of moments ago not to be cynical. Okay, so I know you could take the Gemara we're learning right now and apply to and apply sometimes to us, but okay, again, we just learned not to be cynical. So the Gemara says, so what they would do with these priests of the Avodah Zarah is they would identify someone who was wealthy. Umar even mesagalim va'osim demusa tzavim. Umamidim b'tzad avuseihim o'tzim osam l'chutz. Okay, so now, when they would starve the animals, so what they would do is they would take an image of this wealthy person and they would put it next to the food. And now what the animal would do is create an association between the food and this wealthy person. Okay? Pavlovian. Like a... Yeah, it's a Pavlovian classical conditioning of the animal. Okay? Right here in the Gemara. Yep. So Kevin Sharau or some Ratzan Acharim Umemashmashimbehen. So then what happened now is that, these cows develop now this positive association to these wealthy people, and then when they finally see the actual wealthy patron, so they run over, the animals run over to the wealthy patron, you know, start, you know, going up to it, right, hugging it, kissing it. In other words, okay, so it was taught, it was classically conditioned to associate well with the wealthy patron. Omrim lo avodas kochav chavetzbach. And now the priest would go over to the wealthy person and say, the Avodah Zarah loves you. Yavo v'yizbach atzmo lo. Oh, so you know what you need to do? It's very simple. You need to shech yourself towards this, towards the Avodah Zarah. He chose you. Right? This is a real cult following. He chose you. And so now you have to shech yourself towards it. And what's the consequence now of that? So when you shech yourself to the Avodah Zarah, where does all your money go to? Your money goes to the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so this was a very, very a dark way of fundraising. So Rava says that would work out better if the pasuk was flipped. If the pasuk said the other way around, that when the agalim kiss you, so then people shech themselves towards the avodah zarah. Then I hear all this in the pasukim. So when a person shechs his son, Rav therefore gives a different pshat in the pasuk. When a person shechs his son towards Avodah Zarah, which back then, unfortunately, was very popular, oh, you give us such a gift, you should go ahead and you should kiss it. Okay, Gemara is over here now quoting in the name of the Rav Yehuda Merav. We're going to be identifying various Avodah Zarahs. Now, this is all in the Psukim in Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, and this is now a description of the people who replaced the Asar Shvatim. We know Sancherib Melech Asher came and conquered the northern kingdom of the Jewish people, exiled all the 10 tribes that were living up in the north. We don't know where they are to this very day. And replaced them with people from, now the one we're most familiar with is Kusa, right? We refer to the people in the north as Kusim or Shomronim, another way we describe them, who, by the way, exist to this very day. But they were not the only ones who Melech Asher replaced with the 10 northern tribes. They used other people from other locations who were Ovid, other forms of Avodah Zarah into that place. So what we're learning right now are the Psukim and the Navi that describe the various people and the Avodah Zarahs that come in here. And the Gemara now is just going to give us a very quick detailed description of what the Avodah Zarahs actually were. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. V'anshei Bavel asu et Sukkot benos u'may niu tarnegolos. Okay, so the Sukkot benos worshipped a particular idol. It was a chicken. Anshei kus asu es nargal. Now, kus is the one we're all familiar with, meaning, if you know, right, I speak for myself. Right, if I was asked the question, who took the place of the 10 northern tribes? So I would say the Kusim. Okay, that's the one that apparently gets the most airtime. Even though in the Psukim there are a bunch of other groups, so they worship the Nargal, Mainu Tarnagol. Now here it's actually you can see it really easily, right? Nargal Tarnagol, like the letters are nearly identical. Anshei Hamas Asu Es Asima. So the people of Hamas made an idol, Asima Mainu Bartakarcha. It was a goat. Ve'ha'ivim asu nivchan ve'tartak mainu kelav v'chamor. So again, other descriptions of other idols. So they made a dog and a donkey. Ve'ha'sifarvim sorfim es b'neihem ba'esh. Now, sifarvim, they would burn their sons towards a fire, in a fire, and they would worship the gods of Adramelech and Anamelech. Elohei sifarvim, the gods of the sifarvim. Umainu haperd vasu, so it's a reference to a mule and a horse. Adramelech the adale lamare. Now Adramelech is a mule. The adale lamare b'teina, because the mule you just load up and it's great for loading things on top of it. And anamelech the ani le lamare b'karva. And the anamelech is a reference to the horse because the horse is just wonderful out in the battlefield. Avchiskia melech Yehuda b'kesh aviv la'asos l'kein. Now in terms of being burned by their parents. So Achaz, the father of Chizkio, wanted to burn his son Chizkio. Rashi over here notes that Achaz, well, we know Achaz was a terrible king of Yehuda. He was an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Just recently in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we learned that Chizkio dragged his bones as a means of kapara. We just did that recently in the daf. So the and the Gemara over here is describing how Achaz actually wanted, not wanted, he took Chizkiyahu, his only son. Rashi points out, by the way, we don't have any other reference in Tanakh to any of the other sons of Achaz. So therefore, we assume it's Chizkiyahu. The Gemara over here says it. So the so Achaz took his son Chizkiyahu and tried to burn him in fire, which again was a prop, was a popular practice that was done back in those days by idolaters. Achaz was an idolater, and he did it with his son Chizkiyahu. Now Chizkiyahu obviously survived. How did he do that? Here's a Gemara that tells us the story. So Bikesh Avilasa Zokain, El Shesichto Imo Salam Mandra. So what mom did, the mom of Chizkiyahu, is that she took the salamander blood. Salamander over here, I don't mean the creature that we refer to as salamander. There was a creature back then, Rashi says, it lived in the ovens for 7 years. It basically became impervious to fire. And so you took the blood of such a creature, you smear it on, and basically, it was fireproof. It was a fireproof blood, and she smeared it on his son, and that's how the son survived the attempted firing. Okay, I mean that here literally, right? The attempted firing of Chizkiyahu to his son. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Gemara now starts off with the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and this now takes us well into today's daf. This statement. The Jewish people know that the Avodah Zarah there's nothing to it. Meaning it's idolatry and it's just that. It's worshipping of sticks, stones, meaning things that don't have real power. And we know that. And originally, now I'm giving away the Gemara's punchline when I insert the word originally. But, okay, so right for now, let me take out the word originally. So we only worship idolatry, says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'lo avdu avodas kochavim elahat elam arayas b'far hesya. It's just a way to get to arayas. Meaning really our true yetzahara, our true temptation is gilu arayas, right? Sexual deviation, immoral behavior. And the avodah zarah is just to get to that place. Now parenthetically, it's not even so parenthetical. Meaning we already see this in the Torah, right? By Benos Midjan. Right, we worship the idol of Benos Mejon, but the Torah there says explicitly the worshiping of the idol of Benos Mejon is just to get to Benos Mejon. So this idea that it's the Avodah Zarah is really a means to get to Gilu Arayos. So really, it's in the Torah. But Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is actually saying that we never really believed in Avodah Zarah. Okay, now Meitzer of Misharshe. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to poke holes in this thesis of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So, Kizchor b'neim mizbechosam. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu gives this description of that when we mention the altars that are used for avodah zarah, it's like we go stir crazy. Well, like it brings about such emotion. V'amar avalazer ka'adam sheyesh lo gaguma b'no, and it's like a father longing for a son. That's the kind of relationship we had with the altars for the avodah zarah. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. How can we have any emotional attachment to the Avodah Zarah? According to you, we don't really believe in it. So the Gemara says, Baso Daviku Bey. So this is going to be a common refrain now of the Gemara, answering every question, basically. Right? Spoiler alert. And this answers every question. And that is that originally, now I could say it. Originally, we knew there was nothing to Avodah Zarah. But what ends up happening, and by the way, this is just a great life lesson. What ends up happening, even though we don't originally believe in it, and we're just using it as a way to get to something else. But the more we practice it, and the more we practice it, we then develop an attachment to it. So the Gemara says that's the answer to every question we're going to ask. How is it that we have any emotional attachment to Avodah Zarah when we know it's nonsense? The answer is just we keep going back to it. We keep practicing it again and again. And we end up developing an emotional attachment to it. Okay? We need more chairs. Okay, Tashma. V'nasati b'grechem apigur gilulechem. The Gemara now is going to cite another brisa, and again, it's going to be the same kasha. It's going to be the same answer. Another brisa, and the brisa starts off like this: that the carcasses of you are going to be placed on the carcasses of the idol. And the Gemara here gives us a story that gives us a background to understand this pasuk in Vayikra. This is from the Tochacha of Bechukosai. Eliyahu would be walking around and seeing the starving children in Yerushalayim. Tapuchei, the tapuch over here is the description of their stomach being bloated. And unfortunately, right, within the last number of generations, we've seen too many pictures of people who are suffering from starvation, and their stomachs get bloated. And so this is what the Gemara here is describing. So there was one point in time where they found a child. He was bloated from starvation, and he was right by the garbage. So he says, I'm from this family, this child to Eliyahu. Is anyone left from your family? He says, no, I'm the last surviving member of my family. I'm going to teach you one thing which will be your survival for all future. Are you ready to learn it? Amar lo hein. And the child says, yes, I'm ready to learn it. Amar lo, amar b'chol yom shema Yisrael Hashem lokeinu Hashem echad. So he teaches him the first pasuk of Shema. What Eliyahu is trying to teach this child is to be monotheistic. Amar lo. The child says to Eliyahu Navi, this child has already been brainwashed. And the child says, has. He tells Eliyahu Navi to be quiet. Right, Rashi reminds us, like from the Meraglim, where Kalev is telling the entire Jewish people to be quiet, and he says Vayahas Kalev, right? So the child's telling Eliyahu, right? I just say it bluntly, shut up, right? He says to Eliyahu Navi, Shalom laskir b'shem Hashem, Shalom lamdu im avivimo, right? His parents, whatever contact he had with his parents kept reminding him. Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, and the child was just brainwashed in Avodah Zarah. And Eliyahu Navi is trying to teach him, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, the calling card of monotheism, and the child basically is rejecting it out of hand. Miad Hotzi Yerazo Mecheko Mechabka Menashka. And the child takes out the idol from his pocket idols, and starts hugging and kissing it, Ashenifka Kreso, and his stomach explodes, Venafla Yerazo La'aretz. The idol falls to the ground. And he falls on top of the idol. And that's now a kiyum in the tochacha. Period. Okay, adkan. So that is the pasuk in the tochacha. That's the complementary. I don't mean that. I just mean that literally. Meaning that is the story that the Gemara here attaches to that pasuk in the tochacha that tells us where we find the tochacha actually coming to fruition later in history. And now, the Gemara, again, the question implied, I'll spell it out, how can you tell me that they never believed in the Avodah Zarah? Look at this child and the way he treats his Avodah Zarah. So, Basa Davikube, and again, the Gemara's answer, same answer. And the answer is that yes, originally when we worshipped Avodah Zarah, we knew it was nothing. It was just a means to get to Gilui Arayos. However, once we just kept going back and back to Avodah Zarah, it made us develop an emotional attachment to the Avodah Zarah. Tashma, the Gemara over here. Two places in Shas where we have this Gemara. Here in Sanhedrin Daf Samech Dal, today's Daf, Yuma Daf Samech Tes. Okay, 64 and 69, 64 in Sanhedrin, 69 in Yuma. This is a most basic Gemara. The Gemara over here is discussing it in the context of the statement of Rav Yehuda Merav. We will get the entire Gemara over here. First, the Gemara is going to quote the first part of this Gemara to challenge Rav Yehuda Merav, give the standard answer that we've already given twice, and then the Gemara is going to give us the rest of the story. Tashma. Vayizaku b'kol gadol al-shem Eloheihem. Or in this case, I should say better, Elokeihem. Okay, this is Pesukim in Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah comes in together with Ezra to build and reestablish the second Beis HaMikdash, right? The second commonwealth, as they call it in the academic world. Okay, And the second Beis HaMikdash, we know the members of the Sanhedrin, the beginning of the Sanhedrin were referred to as Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and the men of the Great Assembly. And the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were Ezra Nehemiah, and Shimon HaTzadik was Meshayari Anshei Knesset HaGedola. He was the last of that first generation of Talmidei Chachamim and Nevi'im who lived in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. So, what the Gemara now is going to do is interpret a number of psukim in Nehemiah. My amor, what does that mean that we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm Rav Yehuda Vitem, Rav Yonasan Baye Baye. We said, whoa, hainu de'achrevila besa, v'kayu la'echala. This, meaning, and as we're going to see in the context of this Gemara, they're pointing to the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. And this is the cause of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And destroy the Heichal. V'kalinu l'tzadikei. and the tzaddikim were murdered. Vaglin li Yisrael, and we were exiled. Me arayu, from our land. Vaadainu meraked beinan, and it's still dancing amongst us. Meaning, what hope do we have for Bayis Sheni if the cause of the destruction of Bayis Rishon is still here? We worshipped idolatry, which is the cause of the destruction of Bayis Rishon. The Gemara says that the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah and Gilu Arayis and Shvichas Damim. And now, Bayis Sheni, we're building it, and it's now new and fresh, but how can it last? Answers the Klum Yavtilan Ella Lekabule Be'agra. So, and we know that the purpose of the Avodah Zarah, or the Yetzer Hara for the Avodah Zarah, is so that we will get rewarded. Meaning it's the Yetzer Hara that we're going to beat, and so we're going to get rewarded for overcoming this Yetzer Hara. Lo Iubinan V'lo Agrabinan. We don't want it, we don't want its reward. It's too great for us. So, pause over here now. In other words, we're going to come back to the rest of the story in just a moment. So, again, the questions on Rav Yehuda Amarav. Rav Yehuda Amarav, you said that we never believed in it. And we gave it no real consideration. It's just that it's a way to get to our rayos. So how can that be? And meanwhile, look at us at the beginning of Bayis Sheni and look at how we're making an admission to Hashem. It's too tempting for us. How could it be too tempting? Again, the Gemara's answer, standard answer of the Gemara, third time now, Baso Davi Kube. Yeah, originally, everything we just said is true. And then, again, same answer, once we attach ourselves to it, and once we keep repeating the practice of Avodah Zarah again and again, we develop an emotional attachment to it. Next. We now go back to the story of what the Gemara now is going to be describing, the our capturing of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Yasu Tasu Yoma B'Tanisa, the Gemara here, brings down the following Mesorah. We sat 3 days in fast. This is not mentioned in the Psukim. This is the Mesorah that we have. We sat 3 days in fast. Barachameh. And we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give it over to us, meaning the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Nafalu Pitka Meira Kiyasa Da'avik Sibbe Emes. A note came down from heaven with the word Emes written on the note. Amr Rabbi Chanin Nishma Min HaChos Mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Nafa Kegurya De Nura Mi Beis Kodesh Mi Beis Kodshe HaKadoshim. It came out, it meaning the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, came out like a fire in the form of a lion cub from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You can imagine every line, every word of this Gemara is deep and rich in meaning. Amalu Navali Yisrael Hainu Yitzhara Avodah Zarah. So the Navi Yisrael say, that's it, meaning that's the Yitzhara of Avodah Zarah. Ba'ad de Katafsulei, so while they're trying to capture and trap it, Yishame Binisamine, a hair is pulled off of it, Va'azukala Ba'arbe Mea Parse, and it let out a roar that went out 400 parsec. Amru hechinav edilma mishamay derach merach me'alaha. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu may end up having rachmanis on it if the shemayim is able to hear it. Amru le'navi shajua bedura. Sorry, beduda de avra. So the navi says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it in a lead pot. V'kisua ba'avra and seal it with a lead seal. D'shayif kal'e. And we're going to seal the lead pot. Dichsiv vayomer zos rishav yishlech osal toch haifa vayishlech et even al feres al pia. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Zechariah giving this description of a lead pot with a lead seal. And again, in the context of our Gemara, that pasuk in Zechariah is making reference to the trapping and the capturing of the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah. Amre ho ve'es ratzonhu. So now the men of that generation understood, so we have, it's an Eitz Ratzon. We have now the ability to take Yetzer Haras away from this world. So they took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, and they wanted to continue. So Nibai Rachme Ayisra da Avera. So now, let's get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Arayus. Bar Rachme Imsa B'Yadayhu. So they now ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanus, and they were given now the Yetzer Hara for Arayus. Chavshu Talsayuma. They trapped her for 3 days. Now all they wanted was a fresh egg. An egg that was laid recently, in the last day. L'chola, for somebody who was sick. V'lo ashkechu, they could not find an egg. Meaning, yes, you can take away the Avodah Zarah for Arayos, but then we no longer have an interest in propagating the world. represented over here in the Gemara by the fact that no egg was laid. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, so we can't take away the entire Yetzer Hara of the Arayos, because then we're not going to propagate. Fine. So Paga Mirkasa Lo Yave. So, I'm sorry, Nibai Paga. So why don't we take away half of this Yetzer Hara? Paga Mirkasa Lo Yavo. So the Gemara says it doesn't work that way. It's all or nothing. Okay, so Kachlino Le'ene. So the Gemara says, so what we were able to do was at least pierce the eye of this Yetzer Hara. So we took away just took away a smidge of its power and effect. In the very least, what we were able to do was take away our temptation, our raya's temptation from our relatives. Rashi over here describes one's mother, one's sister. So we no longer have a yetzer hara for those. Rashi points out we still have a yetzer hara for Anida. We still have a yetzer hara for Eshes Ish. Meaning, so basic arayas we still have a yetzer hara for, but at least no more yetzer hara for one's mother, one's sister. Okay. I've heard this. One second. I've heard this on numerous occasions. I don't have a particular source to share with you in terms of where you could see this, but in other words, for every action, there's a reaction. For every consequence, there's a side effect. Right? Just think of the drugs that we take. In other words, right? For every benefit that it has, that also has a side effect. So the fact that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is taken away, it is but no coincidence that it's that very same generation where there's no longer any Nevuah. Meaning, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah had the last of the Nevi'im. There was no longer a Navi after that point in time. Why is there no longer Nevuah? So again, the Gemara doesn't say it. I'm saying it. I've heard this many times. And I really think it just makes perfect sense. I think it's right. Okay, but again, I don't have a source. But once the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is taken away, so there is a flip side to that as well. There's another side to that as well, which is that our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get muted, and that we no longer have Nevi'im. Right? There are no more Nevi'im after Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And in light of what we just learned in the Gemara, it makes perfect sense because the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is taken away. So that means that there is now a disconnect between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of the fact that that Yetzer Hara is taken away as well. Okay. Amrav Yudam Arav Maisa Benachris Achashayitza Chola B'Yosem. There was a non-Jewish woman, and she was very sick. So now she doesn't know from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She lives in an idolatrous world, and so she makes a pledge to her idols: if I get better, if I recover, so I'm going to be serving every idol in the world. Amda the avda or v'halcha l'chol avodah zarah shebaolam kevin shegila pa'or. So she now worships every idol in the world until she gets to the idol of Pa'or. Now we already know, we the readers of the Gemara, already know what's next. Because how do you worship Pa'or? So you defecate in front of the idol. Shaila l'karmim. So she right now is innocent. She has no idea what's coming up. And she asks the priests, Bameh ovdin lezu. How do you worship this idol? So Amru La, oh boy, she's not ready for the answer. Amru La, Ochlin trade Vishosin Shechar. So eat a lot of beets and drink a lot of beer. Okay, loosen the stool. Umatrizin Bafanan. And then what you're gonna do is you're gonna defecate right in front of the idol. Amra, she gives a response that at least I know I would answer, and I venture a guess most people would answer. Mutav Shitachzer Awisha Lacholya Velo Savod Avodazar Bekach. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'd rather go back to my illness, I'd rather be deathly ill then be oved this kind of avodah zarah in this manner. Atem beis Yisrael einam kein. And now, by all this is used now as a way of castigating the Jewish people. Hanitzmedim la baal por, kitzamid psil. We worship Baal Peor and the Navi. The Chumash actually gives a description, we're nitzmadin. What does that mean, nitzmadin? We have another term in the Torah that describes it, tzamid pasil. Tzamid pasil means it's sealed. We're tight with Baal Peor. In other words, we, the Jewish people, by virtue of the fact that we're not only over to Baal Peor, but we're tight with Baal Peor, even though this Nachris, her immediate reaction to such worship is, that's grotesque, that's disgusting, I'd rather go back to being sick than worshiping it, and as a tochacha to us, as a musa to us, and meanwhile, we went for it, not only did we go for it, we were tight. On the other hand, however, in terms of the description of our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so we are devekim, we cling to Kadosh Baruch Hu like two dates that cling to one another. Meaning, even within the tochacha, still our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu even tighter, so to say. Now, this braisa that the Gemara quotes, a little bit nicer to the Jewish people in terms of how much we were dedicated to Baal Peor. Not like the lid on a jar, which is a tight seal, but rather like a bracelet on the wrist of a woman. A little bit looser fitting. So in other words, our relationship to Baal Peor, like the bracelet on the wrist of a woman, not tight. As opposed to our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, tight. Okay. It puts us in a slightly better light than the previous statement. Tana Rabbana Maisa B'Savta Ben Alashi Hizkir Chamarol and Achris. Gemara tells the story of Savta. Savta over here, not grandmother. Savta, actually a name of a person. So Savta Ben Alam, okay, or Ben Alas. Hizkir Chamarol and Achris. So he was hired as a chauffeur for a non-Jewish woman. Achas Kevin Shigil Apor Amar Lo Hamtein Ache Kanes Ve'Atzila Achas Shiatsa Amar La Af Et Af At Hamtini Ache Kanes Ve'Atze. Okay, so she makes a pit stop. Pun intended. Okay, so she, I really do mean it. She makes a pit stop, but instead of just using the local restroom at the gas station, so she stops at the Baal Peor, and so I know it's funny. And as per the Gemara that we learned a little bit earlier, so you can make fun of this. You're allowed to. So now at the pit stop, so she goes in. She worships the idol. So and the worshiping of the idol is done through defecation. So Amr lo. So he says, you know what? You're gonna go? I'm gonna go as well. Amr lo velo yudiata. So she says, wait 1 second, you're Jewish, what are you doing? Meaning for me, I'm an idolatress. Like for me, okay, you're Jewish. Ata, I'm sorry, velo yudiata, amr lo, umay ichbat lech. What do you care? Okay, I'm Jewish. Okay, good. That's great. Nichnas pa'ar befana v'kinech bechotmo. So not only did he defecate, but then he wiped himself on the nose of the idol. Now, the priests, when they saw that, oh my gosh, they were mesmerized. That's unbelievable. Yeah, right. Those Jews, oh my gosh, they're unbelievable. They worship the idol. We never saw somebody worship it in such a manner. Right? The best. I could just imagine them telling their children and their grandchildren, generations from then, you won't believe this particular Jew. Okay, now, in terms of intent, the Gemara does not give us any details. Was he trying to out from the frummies? Was he trying to degrade it? And perhaps the point of the Gemara is it doesn't matter. Right. Meaning that as long as a person worships it in the degrading manner, that's no good. That's simply unacceptable. So, and the Gemara says it straight out, that when a person defecates in front of this idol, even though his intent is to degrade it, but since that's the manner in which it's worshipped, so NG, it is simply no good. Throwing a stone at the Markalis, that's considered the way it's worshipped. Now, it may be his intent that he's actually throwing a stone at it because, you know, like a rejection. It doesn't matter. Since that's the way it's worshipped, that's considered Avodah Zarah. Rav Menashe of Akazel of Torta, Amarlo Avodah Zarah, he dekai hacha shakal pisa shadabe. He took a cloud of earth, he threw it at the Avodah Zarah. Amarlo Markalis, and they said to him, it's Markalis. So in other words, what you did is you just did Avodah Zarah. Amarlo Azarik Evan Lamarkalis Tanan. Oh, no. The Mishnah is throwing a stone. Asa Shal Bei Midrasha, he went to the base Medrash, Amarlo Azarik Evan Lamarkalis Tanan, and they said, no, throwing the stone, that's the Avodah. Afa Gav De Mechav Lamirgame. So we said, but yeah, that wasn't my intent. My intent was to, I meant it as a sign of rejection. Amarlo Hu Ezel Ishkale. So he says, no. In other words, it doesn't matter. By virtue of the fact that you threw something at it, that's the avoda. So he says, and even if you took a stone away, that's considered a means of worshiping. Chayev, kochad v'chad ravcha l'chaver toshavet. Because now what you did is you made room for another stone. So in other words, throwing a stone at it, removing a stone from it, it's all part of the worship, and even if your intent is to degrade it, it's still considered an act of avodah zarah. Okay. Two more minutes. Open up a chumash, vayikra, perek yud ches, and you're going to see over there the issue in the Torah of you're not allowed to hand your son over to a priest of Molech so that the priest will take your son and run him through the fire. And what we just learned together in the Mishnah is that to violate the system of the Torah is actually a compound of two factors. One, you must hand your son over to the priest. Two, he must run your son through the fire. Then and only then are you subject to the skila penalty. Now, katani avodah zarah katani molech. Here comes a funny question. I say funny meaning it does take a lot of time to hear the question and to hear the answer. Is molech part of avodah zarah or is molech not part of avodah zarah? Now, let me ask you. If it's not part of avodah zarah, what is it? Right? It's a, and the only way I could describe it is just simply, it's a rite of passage. Rite, R-I-T-E. Meaning, it's not necessarily an idolatrous practice, but it's just simply a certain rite of passage. And I'll better explain that point in just a moment, or at least I'll start it today, I'll continue tomorrow. Now, by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah segregates Molech from Avodah Zarah, it sounds like from our Mishnah that there are two separate entities. There's Avodah Zarah and then there's Molech. The Gemara points out that the Braisa agrees with this position. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Echel HaMolech ve'echel HaShar Avodah Zarah Chayev. Whether it's Molech or whether it's other Avodah Zarahs, one would be Chayev. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer LaMolech Chayev, Shalom LaMolech Pater. No. If one does this practice towards Molech, so then he's Chayev. However, if one does this practice to another idol, not Molech, but to another idol, so then he would be exempt. And as Rashi over here points out, this opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chanin ben Antignas, just Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. This line of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, I'm reading the Rashi inside, the very bottom of the Amud. Shalom Molech Pater, de Molech Dafka Ksive, Shedaka Bachach, Velo Mishum Avodah Zarah Izar Alav. In other words, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is a rite, not Avodah Zarah, specific to Molech. And therefore, a person is only going to be subject to the skila penalty if he does it to Molech, not to any other Avodah Zarah. Daha mecha yavdu nafka. Ela chok hi lahem. It's just simply a chok. That's why I use the word rite. It's a chok. Vatari ikpid a chok zeh beskila. In other words, and it's not an idolatrous practice. This has nothing to do with religion and belief. This is just simply a rite that they do. And us emulating this rite is subject to the skila penalty. Why? Because the Torah says so. Meaning the Torah says that you're not allowed to follow this kind of rite. So according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, it is not idolatry. It's its own separate entity. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, if I hand my son over to another priest, not a Molech priest, but another priest, and he does it, again, it's heinous. It's terrible. It's, you know, we could use all the adjectives we want, but it's not an Isser Skila. Because it's not, this is not Avodah Zarah according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's just simply a right the Torah told us not to emulate with a skila penalty if we do emulate it. Okay. Let's pause over here. Tomorrow we start with Abaye on the very bottom of the Amud.